Okay. Are y'all ready for the word? Oh, yeah. It's Youth Sunday. And, yeah. I love Youth Sunday. I think our worship, I'm sorry, everything's worship jewel. I think our pastors, our youth pastors and directors are just some awesome teachers back there. I mean, they really connect with our kids, and my kids don't like coming in here either, just like pastors' kids don't. They're like, why do you have to go to adult service? Because they like their own church. So I'm so glad we do have a Youth Sunday, and they are here to celebrate with all of us. But most importantly, I'm excited for the person who's going to be leading and speaking this this morning, Pastor B. That's enough said, right? Pastor B is our children's pastor and our youth pastor. And boy, there's no other person I could say fits that role better than him. I mean, he's a kid at heart, but he gets them. I mean, I know I'm a parent, but he has this way of connecting well beyond what I could do as a parent. And he teaches them so well about God. And he just brings them in and invites them as an adult. I mean, that means a lot. Y'all don't understand sometimes when we work with kids, it's different. It's like, how do you do it, Pastor B? I don't know how to do it. But he has this gift that God has placed on him and this anointing on him. And he brings it every time. And so I'm excited for this morning that he's going to bring a ready word for this whole house. He knows how to connect, not just to kids, but also to us. So I just pray right now that God would pour out his anointing all over you, Pastor B, and that hearts be open and hear the word that you're about to bring. We are excited. Father, have your way. In Jesus' name, let's bring up Pastor B, King Mosley.
Amen. First and foremost, praise God and forgive my attire. But when I come to serve the kids, I can't wear no tie, no suit. It ain't happening. So just like Jewel said, I really am a kid at heart. And this is who I am, y'all. They know, like, when I wear this shirt, it's like, Pastor B, are you going to be in our class? Are you going to be in our class? No, I got the little ones this week. Oh, man. You know? But we're going to get right into the word this morning. But first, I got to just thank Pastor for, again, just the opportunities that she gives us as a leadership team to just give to you what God has given to us and entrusting us that she can go off and do what she has to do to be a mother, to be a fan of her children, and go off and do, you know, parent stuff. Because we get to do parent stuff, and we don't think nothing of the word. Like, who's going to preach this Sunday? We know somebody's going to preach this Sunday. But praise God that we've grown so much that she can take off and do what she needs to do to better her family and do things that, you know, that she needs to do to be a supporter of her children. I got to thank my wife, who just Friday we celebrated 16 years of marital bliss. And then, of course, Bailey's birthday was the following day, yesterday. So praise God for my family who's here, family there, my brother, sister-in-law. I guess I'll say it, she is my favorite niece. I mean, I know you ain't supposed to choose favorites, but she really is my favorite. So she is the miracle of the family, and I bless God for her. Amen. So... with that said, let's get right into it. I want to continue in the power of affirmation journey that we set out the last time I was up here. And so with that, let's go back to Mark 1. So if you have your Bible or electronic devices, go ahead and turn to Mark 1, 9 through 11. And while you're turning there, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord God, first and foremost for who you are. I thank you for your word, that your word is what's transforming in our lives, that causes us to go from one plateau to the next, Lord God, to take us from glory to glory, and it's all because of your word. Thank you, Lord God, that you loved us so much that you sent your word to allow us to flourish, to do the things that you've called us to do. Apart from your word, we'd be able to do no good thing, Lord, because we'd be lost. But because you found us and you guide us, we thank you. Lord, set me aside that a word would be caught this morning, Lord God, that would just cause each and every one of us to grow in our relationship with you, to go us closer, to go us deeper into the things of God this morning. And you get all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody there, Mark 1, 9 through 11? Now, obviously the words are on the screen, so, you know, if you don't have the New King James Version, the words are on the screen, so go ahead and feel free to just turn. But if you do have your Bible or your electronic device, go ahead and hold them high in the air. You don't have to wave them like you just don't care, but just hold them up in the air. Amen. And we're just going to do our Bible affirmation this morning. Amen. For this is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. So let's go ahead and read Mark 1, 9 through 11. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, if you remember, that's where we left off the last time we begin this journey. But I want to go a little bit further for what's going to prepare us for today. So if you continue to read in verses 12 through 13, follow along with me. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now, the last time I preached, or if you caught it on the podcast, you heard the power of affirmation, and I extracted from the story of Jesus' baptism how we can affirm our children by acknowledging what they do and by affirming them by what we say. You may also remember that I said it would be a two-part series. So here we are, the power of affirmation 2.0. However, how many of you have been enjoying the At the Movie series on Wednesday night? I mean, just who would have thought? I mean, who would have thought that I could get revelation from Finding Dory? That the Word of God through a cartoon movie would challenge me. Do I have spiritual amnesia? Do I have spiritual apathy? I mean, I'm really sitting over there challenged. That's a good word. Finding Dory, huh? And when Pastor mentioned that, I was like, man, I wonder how she's gonna pull this off. But praise God, through the Word of God, she was able to pull it off. And that's what our challenge has been: watching a movie Wednesday night, and then receiving a word, and applying biblical principles from that movie. Now, mind you, today wasn't about and at the movies. I had my own thing going on. I was already ready to go. Believe it or not, I mean, Woodlawn ministered to me in such a way that I was like, man, Pastor Alex, man, that movie was on point. That goes right in line as to what I wanted to do the Sunday I'm up to preach. But because of that, I'm going to need you to get some clips together. And then, like, one Monday, Pastor, like, asked me, I mean, I got the text. Because, you know, I got the text. And I'm reading the text, and she's all, do you have a movie that we can watch Wednesday night that will go along with your message? And I'm like, I didn't plan for it. That wasn't part of the scenario. And because of that, I begin to think, okay, what's a movie? What's a movie? What's a movie? And originally, you know, she had mentioned, okay, how about Aquila and the Bee? I had never saw the movie, so of course I'm like, okay, I didn't see it, but let me watch it, and then I'll see if it flows. And so I got home, and I start trying to find the movie, and I couldn't find it because it's such an old movie, or older movie. I couldn't find it, so I'm like going through, okay, let me go through Redbox. Going through Redbox, and then next thing you know, I'm scrolling, and couldn't find it. Next thing you know, it's like, boom, this is it. This is the movie that flows with my message. And then I text Pastor the following day because it was, I know she's up late, but I want to respect her time. So I didn't text her until the next morning. And when she got the message, she responded earlier in the day. I just got the message later on in the day. And she was like, oh, yay! That is a good movie. We're going to watch that. So here we are. This past Wednesday night, if you were here, you saw the movie Wonder. Now, Wonder is a movie based on the best-selling children's book by R.J. Palacio about a young man named Augie Pullman, whom to this point had been homeschooled by his mother, but now Augie is entering the wilderness of middle school. It must face the cruel challenge of the outside world, all the while bearing severe facial deformities that come from being born with Treacher-Collins syndrome, which is a rare condition that affects the development of facial bones. And despite all the love and support of his family, he faced with standing out when all he wanted to do was fit in. And so even though not everyone is able to identify with living with a deformity, I believe everyone can relate to what it's like to be in a hard time, a storm, or a wilderness season. See, I'm reminded of what Pastor Jeff used to say, if you haven't been through any storms, keep living. See, because the storms are a part of life. Either you're in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you got to be prepared to go through one. But it's a part of life. And the question we must ask ourselves before entering into the wilderness season is, are we prepared? And so this morning, I want to continue in the power of affirmation with two principles. Because if affirmation, by Webster's definition, is showing or expressing a strong belief in, dedication to something such as an important idea as truth, then we must choose to receive and believe affirmation of who we are and what we can do. And so again, if we go back to Mark 1:11-12, it says, then a voice came from heaven, and you are my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. So what does this look like? I'm glad you asked. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Man, that was off the hook. When John brought me up out the water. Oh, man, when the heavens opened up, bam, I mean, good God, man. Oh, and when you came down like a dove, I mean, whoo, chains, I mean, come on now. Oh, and what about Father? This is my son who I am well pleased. Good God, man, that was off the hook, wasn't it? Oh, my God. Oh. What was that?
Welcome to the wilderness.
If the Spirit drove him to the wilderness, do you think that's what it's like? Now, I know when we're going through a wilderness situation, it doesn't always feel like we're prepared. We have this tendency to blame God or others for what we lack, rather than owning up that we just didn't prepare. I mean, it's Californians. It's like having an earthquake mentality. See, it's like, did you feel that? I thought that was you moving or farting. I mean, even though earthquakes happen all the time, the magnitude of their damage is so minimal that we disregard the importance of being prepared for them. But when the big one hits, I wasn't ready. Hey, neighbors, let me have some of your water. You got some food? How about shelter? You're not ready. Is there anybody else that spent time on the Atlantic coast? Because I'm from Jersey. So I've been born here, and I know what it's like to have to prepare for hurricane season. I know what it's like to, during the time of June 1st through November 30th, you know, you got to prepare your food, you got to get your water together, your shelter together, put the close the shutters and all that stuff in preparation for when it hits. When the hurricanes hit and the tropical storms hit. But guess what? You know ahead of time when this season's happening. It's continuous. It happens every year. You got to be prepared. But because you know when to be prepared, you're prepared before the storm hits. So likewise, before his wilderness experience, Jesus was already equipped to overcome what the devil would try to do, because he was affirmed in who he was and what he can do. So why is this important? Because no matter how much God, our parents, and the people that love us try to prepare us for our wilderness season, it's still up to us to believe in who we are and what we can do. See, regardless of what the challenge may be, whether it's school, a team that we're trying out for, a new job, moving, I mean, whatever the case may be, sometimes despite receiving affirmation, we forget and have to be reminded to believe in who we are and what we can do. So let's look at the affirming word of God. In Mark 12 through 13, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. But let's look at this in Luke, in a detailed perspective of Luke. See, Luke 4 breaks this whole thing down like something fierce, where, you know, two verses, it took 13 because Luke was running off at the mouth. So he had a lot to say. He was the detailed one of the group. See, Luke 4, 1 through 13, it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command the stones to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And then it goes on and on and on that the enemy tempted him. And Jesus responded. The temptation continuously was, if you are the Son of God, do this. If you are the Son of God, do that. And this is what he does with us. If you are a child of God, do this. And if you are a child of God, do that. He tries to tempt us the same way that he does Jesus. And the devil, knowing who Jesus is, knowing good and well who Jesus is, still came at him like that. And that's why we need to be affirmed in who we are and what we can do. See, which brings me to my first point on how to be prepared before your wilderness season. Be affirmed that who you are is a child of God. I say it again, who you are is a child of God. See, in John 1, 10 through 13, it says, He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe. See, to those who believe in his name, we became heirs. His blood now flows through our veins. This is who we are, children of God, children of the Most High. But again, this is something that we received, but not just received, believe. You got to believe this. This is who you are. In John 3:16, we know it very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why it's important not just to receive affirmation, but also to believe the affirmation. It's one thing to receive something, but if you don't believe it, then it's all for nothing. See, do you believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God? Do you believe that he died on the cross, was buried, and rose on the third day for the forgiveness of sin? See, did you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And upon the confession of your faith, you are a child of God. It's as simple as that. You believe it. In Galatians 3, 26 through 29, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Over the 29, it says, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." This is something that was given to us. This is something that was promised to us. But we must receive it and believe it, that this is who we are. Somebody hold up your Bible and say, "I am who it says I am." Somebody say, "I am a child of God." Now, if you're wrestling with that, well, we'll pray afterwards. We'll talk to you afterwards. Amen. But according to the word of God, this is who it says you are. This is who it says I am. This is who it says we are. So be affirmed that who you are is a child of God. My next point on how to be prepared before your wilderness season.
Yeah.
Be affirmed that you can depend on the word of God. Let's go back to Luke 4. Now, Luke 4 states, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread."
Oh my God. Fine.
Check out all of this. If you are the Son of God, you can have all of this. All of this is yours.
Okay, fine. You don't want it.
If you are the Son of God, don't hit me. If you are the Son of God, command it. Okay, I'm through with you. I'm just gonna come back to a more opportune time. Thank you, Brielle. Now, did you see anywhere in the world, in the Word, where the devil succumbed to some physical assault? Or that Jesus actually responded with blows, with the sword, other than the sword of God? He didn't respond with... His response was, "For it is written, for it is written, for it is written." And that's how we battle the enemy. We can't fight the enemy with a fist or a kick, or no matter how bad we are, no matter how many MMA stars we have in the house, how many boxers we have in the house, how many karate experts we have in the house. It does not matter. We can't fight like that. We got to fight with the word of God. This is our sword. Not this. This sword ain't going to cut it. This is the sword that's going to cut through. Jesus demonstrated that. Every temptation that the devil had for him was demolished by the word. Because this is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. It says who I am. I am who it says I am. And I can do what it says I can do. And sometimes we take some of the things that we can do for granted. Somebody just inhale, just a nice big deep breath. And now exhale. Why y'all looking like y'all can't see me? Y'all can see me. Y'all can't see me. Wait. If you can see me, do this. So none of y'all are blind. You can see me. Oh, my goodness. I thought I was previous to that. Can you hear me now? Good. Because in the movie, Augie makes this statement. I know I'm not an ordinary kind of a kid. I've had 27 surgeries that helped me to breathe, to see, to hear without a hearing aid, but none of them have me look ordinary. See, Augie overcame going through nearly 30 surgeries, and despite that, all that he wanted to do was blend in with the crowd. See, most of us don't know what it's like to live with a deformity, but feel like we are flawed in some way. And so what ends up happening is, I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm too skinny. I'm too fat. I'm black. I'm white. I'm Hispanic. Like, so everything becomes a flaw. The man is holding me down because of this, because of that. I can't do this. I can't do that. And so what ends up happening is we end up being flawed and we're trying to fit in. But if I look around, how can she fit in if she's the only one with a balloon? Okay, fine, the flaws makes you stand out. But guess what? His sister made this, probably one of the most profound statements in the whole movie. If they stare, let them stare. You can't blend in when you were born to stand out. And that is so right as believers in Christ. You're going to stand out. There is something different about you. You are a peculiar people. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We're equipped to do what God has called us to do. And depending on the word of God, sometimes we just got to let it go. Let it go. Depend on the word of God to affirm yourself that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Come on now, somebody say that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Somebody say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Check this out. Even if no one else recognizes my wonder. See, remember David, when Samuel came to anoint a new king, David's own father didn't even recognize him. He didn't even consider that his son, he knew, okay, he got the word that it was one of his sons, but he didn't even consider that it could be David. Now, if I'm told that one of my kids is going to be the queen, I'm going to make sure, I'm going to be like in Cinderella. I'm going to make sure that all the girls get hooked up. I mean, like, okay, is this one in that one? This is who we got, so we're going to bring them all up. There will be no Cinderella in the background talking about, you know, where's my glass slipper? All of them are going to try to glass slipper on because they're going to get out of my house. I'm going to come up. I'm going to come up just like they will. I'm going to make sure all of them try to, you know, put that glass slipper on. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, many of us know that the many flaws of King David, yet flawed in all. And I love what the word says in Acts 13:22. It says, he, being God, gave testimony. See, God gave testimony about David and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. But it doesn't stop there. It says, who will do all my will? And this leads me to my last and final point this morning. Be affirmed that your sacrifice isn't in vain. See, we got to go back to Luke 4 for this. Now, remember, Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, and it says he ate nothing, so he was hungry. I don't know about 40 days. I don't know if I could last 40 days and not go hungry. It may not look like it, but I know how to eat, y'all. I mean, after probably about more like 40 minutes, I'm ready to eat again, let alone 40 days. But he was hungry, and the devil said, check it out. If you are the Son of God, make these stones become bread. Wouldn't bread sound really good right now when you're hungry? I sure could use me some bread, because I sure am hungry. That would hit the spot. And again, he tempts him, all this authority I will give to you. Wouldn't it be wonderful to just have all this power and authority of all the kingdoms in the world? That would be pretty off the hook. And then he goes on, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down on the angels who have charge over you. Wouldn't that be something else to be like, angels do this, angels do that. I could just jump off of here and the angels go. Okay, they didn't get me, but I trust them. I didn't hurt my foot. I'm safe. The angels got me. But whether it be passing on what tempts us or coming in the form of doing what we don't want to do, a sacrifice will always cost something. See, think about it. We didn't pay for salvation, but it cost the Lord his life. See, so what we can sacrifice in appreciation of his sacrifice, we serve in and outside of the church. We give financially and out of our time. We praise and we worship our God because we appreciate the sacrifice. We testify and tell others about what he's done for you. That may inspire them that they may grow into a relationship with the Lord for themselves. So be affirmed that your sacrifice isn't in vain. See, sacrifice was also a big component in the movie. The mom actually put her career on hold to take care of the son. And even the sister sacrificed time with their parents. See, the sister, man, she has some great statements. This is another one she says. She said, Augie is the sun, and mom and dad and me are the planets orbiting the sun. But I love my brother. I'm just used to how this universe works. Now, this is a spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, but their sacrifice wasn't in vain. It was greatly rewarded in the end, and I'm going to leave it at that. You just got to go see it for yourself. And even though this movie was inspired by real life events, it gets no realer than affirming that the Bible is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I choose. See, we got to make a choice that this is who we are. This is what we believe. You got to choose this thing for yourself. So I choose to open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. And so in closing, with affirmation being defined as showing or expressing a strong belief in or dedication to something such as an important idea as truth, recognizing that the power of affirmation is a very, very passionate topic for me. See, especially when it comes to our young people, not just mine, but to yours too, even those outside of these walls. I believe that the passion is on display in the way I am with mine and your children. And one would think I grew up in a household of abundant love and support. Now, my brother is here and my sister is here. And as the children, we love each other, but we can't always say that our household was full of support and full of love. See, quite the opposite. And that is what the core of my wonder is. God, why am I like this? Why do I have such a heart for children when I feel like my childhood was such a mess? God, why me? Why am I so privileged to serve and to be such an encourager and an influencer to children and people of the next generation when that didn't get done for me? Why me? I wonder this all the time. Why me? I feel like I got robbed of my childhood, but yet I'm able to just live this childhood through your children, through our children. Despite all my childhood flaws, and God had to reveal to me that what I wished I would have received in my childhood, He's given me in an abundance to pour out. Because it's not about me. It is about the next generation. See, I'm reminded of what Pastor Jeff used to say. A fountain doesn't rise any higher than its source. And so God had to become my source because all I would have to give is a whole lot of pain and a whole lot of disappointment. But He loved on me and saved me and changed my pain into joy. And opened my eyes to realize that that was the wilderness season for me. And that I was being prepared all along to overcome it for this season. So that now, through my testimony, I can encourage others. See, so regardless of whether we didn't have the best upbringing or best childhood, if we start receiving and believing affirmation of who we are and what we can do, based on the truth of God's word, the easier it is to sacrifice our plans for His. So what do I want you to get out of this message this morning? Know that who you are is a child of God. Know that you can depend on the word of God. And know that your sacrifice isn't in vain. Those are just a few of the many affirmations that prepare us before our wilderness season. Amen? You may stand. Man, God is good. Some of us have sat through this message. And yet, as entertaining as it was, you really did receive something out of it. If you did, just go ahead and lift your hands and just an acknowledgement that, amen, I did receive a word from God this morning. God was truly in His house. Amen. And then some of us may feel like, man, what you said hits a chord. Because I don't always feel connected to God. I don't know this God that you speak of. But like the word says, He died for the forgiveness of our sins. But it's up for us to believe. Again, if you have a burning in your heart and you don't know God, I encourage you to stay behind and you know, you can come to me personally or one of the other leaders. And we'll just counsel you this morning. And some of us may think that, man, God has affirmed me in so many things. People have affirmed me in so many ways. Man, I think back of all the encouraging thoughts, all the encouraging words, but yet I let them fall on just bad ground. And now this is a season of this word falling on fertile ground, that it would truly reap a harvest of what God said, that I am who he says I am, and I truly can do what he says I can do. I believe this now. If you're having a hard time believing in your season, preparing for that season before the season hits, also, will you come and let us pray for you? Because truly, when it's all said and done, what we as believers long to do and are equipped to do is to go through our wilderness season. But I tell you what, there's nothing like being prepared for it before it hits. And so that's what our encouraging word of this morning is. We just want to help you, to prepare you for your wilderness season this morning. Amen. Lord, I thank you first and foremost again for who you are. Apart from you, this word would just fall on deaf ears. But thank you for opening our hearts, removing the shields from our eyes, that we would see you in all your glory and splendor. Thank you for the word that have penetrated souls to the point where this seed has fallen, Lord God, on fertile soil. That now we would be able to go out, Lord God, and make the proclamation, Father God, that who we are is not who people think we are, but who we are is who you say that we are. That our lives are changed. Our lives are transformed. That we truly can do what it says that we can do. That we're not just reading our Bibles like the novel Wonder, but we're reading our Bibles because we're expecting change. And the more we read our Bibles, we experience change. We experience the wonder of who you are. To be able to just go in this world, no matter what our flaws may be, to proclaim through your word that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And Lord, I thank you for this word. May your word just continue to penetrate well beyond once we leave these walls, that you and you alone receive all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.